are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Journeys Unconventional with me, your host, Allie Buckley. On this podcast, I will be talking about my unconventional journey and will be joined by a handful of exceptional guests who all have beautiful journeys to share with you as well.
Keep listening and remember, be still. There is light at the end of every dark tunnel.
Alrighty, guys. So today I have on with me Jani Rad. Welcome, Jani.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad we connected.
I know. So Jani and I connected through social media. We realized that each other have podcasts that are pretty similar, and we figured that we'd probably mesh. And so we got into contact, and here we are. So do you want to give the listeners kind of like a little recap on who you are, what you do, kind of like just like a little bio about you?
Yeah, sure. Oh, you know, I've been doing professional work for a while, and I oftentimes have to give a bio, but it always sounds differently.
I know.
I don't have a consistent bio. If you want a consistent bio, you can go to my website, but I'm just going to tell you a short little narrative of who I am. How about that? I have an unconventional journey of what's led me to who I am and what I do. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, over on the East Coast in the Appalachian Mountains of Tennessee. And I grew up, you know, being a very nerdy science kid that also had a loud mouth and liked to be the center of the attention. I did a lot of science and math camps, but at the same time, my mom and dad put me in theater camp. And so I decided I was a big theater junkie when I was a kid that also really liked, you know, dissecting frogs. I was a weird, weird kid. And as I grew up and kind of went through schooling, my parents realized very quickly that they had the problem of they have a kid who's interested in a lot of things and might be directionless. So I just, you know, I've been interested in so many things. I, you know, I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be a soccer player. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a brain surgeon. And these thoughts followed me through, you know, middle school and high school. And I think I was one of those kids that was in every single high school club, but thrived. I loved it.
Oh my God. And here I am. I was the complete opposite.
Throwing mock trial. At one point I was like, yeah, I could be an attorney, and did mock trial. and again, loved it, thrived, always feeling like, you know what, there's an element of this that I love.
Yeah.
Got to college, knew that I liked the realm of healthcare and helping people. And, you know, at that time, you know, we kind of talked about this before, you look at all the paths around you, you kind of compare and see what other people are doing. The majority of people who are interested in healthcare are doctors. So I was like, well, okay, that's what I got to do. If you're interested in healthcare, you go be a doctor. And right. Very quickly, I realized, I don't know if this is for me. There's a lot of stress involved, a lot of just long hours and crying, and there's just a lot of things about this that don't mesh with me. So I changed my major a few times, and then slowly on this journey of realizing and learning more about myself, I learned that you could combine theater with also pushing out messages about health and wellness and social activism. So I joined a theater group that was basically theater for social change. And I did that as my hobby as I continue to figure out my professional path. So I started doing a lot of trainings and facilitation, and just kind of got out there and realized that, you know what, you can be a speaker and motivate positive change in people by just spreading awareness and challenging people to think about the world in ways they've never thought about before. And in my head, I was like, this is a way to promote health that's not being a doctor. So I learned about, you know, the field of public health, and I did public health then as my undergraduate degree. And then I graduated, and I was like, well, I don't want to just hop into grad school, because now I realize that there's more to the world than I even knew. There's degrees out there and professions out there that I don't even know. So I took a gap year. And during that gap year, I continued to work for my university's health and wellness center. I started being really involved in my community back in Chapel Hill and started doing anti-racism trainings in the community and just really dove into this world of the intersection of health and advocacy and all of that. And then I realized that I had this realization of where you are in the world, literally geographically, and who you are as a person can dictate your life expectancy. And that felt really wrong to me, that, you know, just who you are and where you are can impact how long that you are living on this earth. And so I decided to, yeah, in that it's wild.
You put it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had this realization. I was like, well, now knowing that, I can't not do something about that.
Right.
I applied to, it's a dual degree master's program that was for urban planning and public health. And my urban planning track was very much about looking at environmental racism, essentially. So looking at essentially how being in a certain environment or looking at the things around you impact you differently based on your racial identity. And a lot of it looks at housing policies and just, you know, historic awful events that have led to people being discriminated against and how that's led to people's then current life expectancy. The degree program that I was in for public health was looking at like health behavior education. And so to me, that cross section just made so much sense. So I was doing that, you know, as my professional degree, still on the side doing theater for social change. And then by the time I graduated and got the degrees, I moved up to Washington because, you know, I was a young activist and where else do you go but Washington, D.C. And I did the D.C. thing. I worked for an amazing group and I did more trainings. I was like a virtual trainer that worked for SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration. And that was amazing. And then my journey took an unconventional turn because then my sister had a baby and I had never met this baby and I really wanted to see the baby. So my sister was like, you know, what if you just come visit me in Jackson? And I forgot to mention this little fact. The Trump administration decided to defund my center.
that
was the pivot of the unconventional journey there. So
you were in Washington at this time?
I was in Washington.
And where was your sister?
Jackson, Tennessee.
Okay.
Yep.
Jackson, how long of a Tennessee. Drive is
that? You don't drive. It's a flight.
Oh okay. Well,
maybe some would drive. It's days, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I don't do that drive for sure. Which we'll talk about later, why I don't do drives like that.
Right, okay.
So she was like, you know, your job's ending anyway. I'm having a baby. Like, just come to live with, you know, just look for a job here in Memphis for a year. Just stay with me for a year. We haven't lived with each other since, you know, you were 7 years old. So right. I went there with the intention of that I was going to be there for just 1 year, find a gig that I would enjoy. And now 2.5 years later, I'm still working here in Memphis and I work in a healthcare system and I love my job. But now I just do podcasting on the side. So that's my narrative.
So cool. You know, what's really interesting, the take on like the theatrical social change and like the social justices, like that is so cool to have that perspective of things, to like bring theater into that, I think is so interesting. And I think that it's very unique. You're now in Tennessee. You're loving it.
Loving it.
I want to get into what I brought you here for mainly was talking about what impacted you pretty significantly. You shared with me that you were in a pretty bad car accident, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Why don't we kind of dive into what that looked like and when that happened, and then we'll kind of go from there with your journey of how you made it through that and got to the point that you're at today.
So I'll just give like a quick synopsis of just the story of what happened that day. So this was August 5th, 2018. So it's been 2 years beautiful sunny day, literally no rain, nothing. And it was a Friday, and my sister lives about an hour and 20 minutes away from me now. And so with the two kids and her being here, I was frequently going to Jackson, a couple times a month just to kind of connect and have that time with her. So I was, taking the same route that I was doing now for a few months. It was not even dark. It was maybe like 5 o'clock in the evening. And I start driving and realize that, there's like a huge traffic accident on the highway. So, Maps app does its thing and says, there's this alternate route that's like a parallel highway. And I'm like, yeah, great. You're technology. Yeah, I trust you. So I took the alternate route, and I was on there for about hour and 10 minutes. I'm now at this point about 15 minutes away from my sister's house taking this alternate route. And then I get an alert that says like, okay, now you have to get back onto the highway or you can keep going. And I was like, okay, well, I know how to get to my sister's house from the regular highway, so I'll just get back onto the highway. So this whole time I've been on this parallel highway road, no cars, beautiful, beautiful drive. But then I'm like, okay, well, I'll just go back to what I know. I'll go back to what's comfortable. Turned and went back onto the highway. And then the rest of my life changed. So I'm on the highway. I'm like three exits away from her house. And all of a sudden, like, I see this like orange low-flying plane kind of flying above us. And I didn't know what it was. I was like, it's too small to be for people. I didn't know what it was, but it wasn't a toy plane. It was like a real plane. So it was definitely weird.
Like the plane was coming at you?
Not at me, but it was like, it was hovering close enough on the, like above the highway to where you were like, that's weird. I've never seen anything like that before. So it was unsettling.
Okay.
But I was like, okay, I'm just so close to, my sister's house, I'll just forget about it. Every car around me had the same thought of that's a weird thing to look at. So of course everyone is looking up.
No.
Everyone's looking up. So I'm in the right lane, the slow lane. And there was another car, not speeding, but they were just in the fast lane, whatever, the left lane. And I see the car. Now at this point I'm looking straight, and I see the car out of my peripheral vision come to my right. And so then I look over really quickly because now they're crossing into my lane. I make direct eye contact with the person in the passenger seat. We both start screaming. Then the car, I see this happening. Like, it's so weird that all this happened maybe within a millisecond, but it's like, I could see all the events happening. We look at each other, we make eye contact, we scream. The person turns to the person that's driving, probably says like, hey, you're about to hit a car. They overcorrect into the median. Then they swerve into the median, and then to overcorrect again, they come and hit me. And I see all this happening. So literally my thought is I'm about to get hit. Like, I could see it happening. And I also have my puppy in the back seat too.
Oh my God.
So now at this point, like, and it's so weird to think about all this because it's like, I was so calm. And I think that's the weird thing about this story is that I just was telling myself almost like in third person, like, okay, you're about to get hit. You're just going to take it. Whatever happens, happens. Like, I'm literally having this conversation with myself. My car starts to flip off the highway. With every flip, like, I can see what's happening. Like, I kind of have my eyes closed, but I've not lost consciousness at all. I don't know how. So I literally just start, like, you know how they say, like, your life starts flashing before your eyes? I didn't see, like, life events, but I just started saying goodbye. Like, in my head, I literally am just like, okay, well, you had a good life. You've added some value into the world. You've done some good things. Like, your mom and dad love you. You're good. And, like, I'm just calmly having this conversation with myself because I'm like, there's no way in heck that I'm going to survive this. And then I can see like the glass shattering. Like, I kind of have my eyes closed. I feel the airbag. Like, I feel all this stuff happening. And then all of a sudden, like, it stops. And then there's one last like kaboom. And then I feel like my body kind of go up. And then at this point, now that the movement has stopped, I like get dizzy. I get dizzy because I'm like, I probably just from the movement of the car. And then at this point, like I kind of open my eyes at this point. And then I'm still kind of dizzy, but I'm in a haze. I see a log has gone through the windshield and it's like here. So I don't know if this is going to be a video or audio, but like the log was literally like an inch away from my eyeball. And I look at it and like, I have this thought like, am I alive? And then I look down and I see blood. And then literally then I'm like, I'm alive. And then all of a sudden the calm and the still of me of being like, okay, goodbye world stops. And I'm like, I'm gonna survive this. And then I all of a sudden was just like, okay, cause you, I don't even know if this is true, but you see on TV, like they say, you know, don't fall asleep. Like try to stay up. And so I just told myself that I was like, don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. And I couldn't move the entire left side of my body, but I take my right hand and I start, like, I kind of weave it through the like glass of the crap that's around me. And I take my wrist and I start hitting the horn so that people knew that like, hey, there's somebody in that car that is.
Well, what I was going to ask you is like, did anybody, like, were there other, there had to have been other cars around that saw this, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But at this point, like, I don't even know. Like I'm still just like kind of getting out of haze.
But people were around and saw
it. People were around. So that's something I think that's in my head. Like I just was like, okay, just hit the horn. Like people must have seen this. Like someone needs to get me out.
Yeah.
And so then I hear somebody go, I think someone's alive. So then in my head, I'm like, yeah, this must have looked pretty bad. And so then somebody comes to the passenger side of my car, which doesn't even exist now at this point. Like it's just gone. And he says like, sweetheart, you've been in a really bad car accident. Like, can you understand what I'm saying? And at this point, like I think now at this point I'm crying because I'm like, I'm now feeling the feeling of like being scared.
I feel like I'm about to start crying just from this emotional roller coaster that you brought me on. Oh my goodness. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. So he's like, sweetheart, you've been in a really bad car accident. Can you understand what I'm saying? And I was like, yeah, I can't move my left side. And he was like, well, we have to get you out of the car. He was like, you've got about 20 cars here that have pulled up and they're ready to help you. We're making room for the ambulance, but the ambulance isn't here yet. But sweetheart, we have to get you out of your car because it's smoking in the front. And I was like, oh, okay. So at this point,
wait, time out. Where is your dog in all of this?
Yeah, I'm getting to that.
No.
I'm getting to that. Spoiler alert, he's now sitting right here down next to me.
Oh my God, don't do that to me. You really scared me there.
Yeah, yeah, but there's a wonderful story to this. Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, for anyone listening, he's okay. He's okay.
Yeah. Where's the dog also?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, and I had like just gotten him that year. Okay. So So the guy says, you know, there a lot of people have stopped. We're going to help you. We have to get you out because we don't know if your car is going to blow up. It's smoking. So we got it. We have to get you out. So then a woman comes and she's like, I'm a nurse. Like I'm going to help watch this to make sure that you're all okay. So like three people pull me out of the car. These are complete strangers. Like none of these people knew me, nothing. And they carry me out of my car and lay me on the ground. I'm now crying at this point because now I can start to feel the pain. And just, I have this realization of like, I was in a car accident. I almost died and I thought I was dying and I was saying goodbye, but not like, then it started to hit me. Wow. And then they put me on the ground. And the first thing I said was, can you get my dog? He's in the back seat. And I will never forget this. The woman goes, honey, there's no dog back there. You don't even have a back seat anymore. And I like turned my head and looked like this because I couldn't actually move my neck. I like turned the upper part of my body to look. The whole back inside of my car, like obliterated. There was no puppy. I started to scream. I get up and start running around looking for my dog. And everyone's like, you have to stay still. I'm like hobbling. Like I can't even move most of my body. And I'm starting to run around. I am in hysterics. finally they get me to sit down. I'm like, my dog, you have to find my dog. You have to find my dog. And I'm like telling them what they look like. And at this point, then an officer comes. So now at this point, like there's ambulance, there's police. And, you know, the same nurse had gone into my car and grabbed my backpack out, which had my phone. And this was the weird thing, is like, even in all the chaos, I literally was like, my backpack is in the front right, and my wallet is in there, and my cell phone is in there, and my driver's license is in there. Like, I was
You just, still, like, knew everything.
I was like, I had the ability to be like, yeah, go there and get all my personal belongings. And she was wonderful and got it. And so now an officer is holding my cell phone and says, like, who should we call? And I said, call my sister. So the car is still on at this point. And so he calls, but it goes to the Bluetooth of my car. So my sister, the only thing she can hear are sirens, screaming, like that's all she can hear. And then, and this is now I'm adding in now what she's told me, that from her perspective, all she did was she picked up the phone that was my number, and then she could just hear chaos. And at this same time, her husband, who's a physician in Jackson, walked in, and my sister immediately goes, something is wrong. And then at this point, then the officer realized, like, the timing of this is just crazy. The officer realized it was on Bluetooth, took it off Bluetooth, and said, are you the sister of, you know, Niranjani Radhakrishnan? She's been in a bad car accident. We need either somebody on site or to meet her at the hospital. My sister looks at her husband and goes, turn around, go. She's at this exit, go. So at this point, like, the traffic and everything was still fine. Like, there wasn't a huge blockade or anything. He managed to get to the scene. And so he got there as I was being put into the ambulance. No one can still find my dog. Now, multiple cars have pulled to the side of the road now where they're just having a search party to look for Oliver. So I'm crying. They put me on the ambulance and he tells them, take her to my hospital.
Your sister's husband?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So then next thing I know, I'm in the ambulance. They're like sticking all these IVs in me. And I don't do well with IVs. So now I'm crying because it's hurting. And then I just keep saying, like, I can't feel my body. I can't feel my body. And they're like, yeah, you probably have dislocated a lot of things. Like, you've probably got some internal stuff. Like, we're going to take care of you, da, da, da. And at this point, like, I kind of start going in and out. So the next thing I remember is that I'm in the emergency department or room or whatever, and I'm getting wheeled in on that little thing. Now I'll tell you now my perspective, and then I'll tell you what happened with my sister and her husband. So then as I was in the ambulance and, like, the doors were closing, I forgot to mention this part. The woman who was holding my cell phone was, like, about to give everything to my sister's husband, and they get a phone call. And, like, at this point, the ambulance doors are just, like, they were just about to close. And I hear someone on the phone go, hi, like, I just calling this number. There's a dog that's near me. Is this dog missing? And I just screamed, yes, that's Oliver. And then the doors close. And then I literally was just like, well, what are they going to do? What are they going to do?
Oh my God.
The next thing I know is then I'm in the emergency department. I don't know how much time has passed. I'm, like, kind of going in and out of at this point. And then I'm, like, getting wheeled in. I can hear my sister's husband being like, everyone drop everything. This is my sister-in-law. Like, da 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 da. And then like more time passes. And I just remember, like, being in the, in that bed. And, like, I have, like, a collar around my neck in case, yeah, I had neck injury. And I remember, like, looking over the edge because I hear someone go, look who's here. And it was my sister's husband, and he's holding Oliver in his arms in the emergency department.
Oh my goodness.
And so they just let Oliver stay in the ER room with me the whole night.
Oh my God. I love that. Now, yeah. Were there any injuries to your dog?
No. So no, there was not. So now I'm going to tell the last bit of the story now from my sister's perspective. So
okay. I love all the perspectives we're getting. This is
I great. Know. Yeah. Well, cause I had to piece all this together because I, you know, over the next few days, I was just so disoriented too.
Of course. Yeah.
And I also just wanted to know, like, how did you find my dog and all of this? Yeah. Because my assumption was that during the flipping that he just got crushed. Like, that's, I thought that he had died.
Well, yeah, when you said that the backside of your car was gone and the puppy was in the back seat, yeah, immediately my stomach just dropped and I was like,
Yeah.
Oh no.
No.
Oh,
yeah. No. Like I don't know why I got up and just started running around looking, because I think I had this thing where I was like, he's dead, but I'm going to still look for him. Like that. I was like
the dog, and I like totally get it. Like it. And when we're in the car together, like I buckle her in and everything, but like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like you didn't think this car accident was going to happen. So like, you know,
three exits away from my sister's house.
Yeah. Too. But just like in regards to the dog, like you don't even like, you don't think about that. You know what I mean? Like you get in the car, even when you get in the car yourself, you don't think about it, but keep going with your story.
Yes. At this point. So now this is what my sister told me when she's in the emergency department. She said that, you know, she got a call essentially that the dog, that Oliver had run 3 miles on the highway to a rest area. And apparently had gone up to a woman and was pawing at her. He was still wearing the seatbelt. He had gnawed out of the seatbelt at some point. So the seatbelt string was still on him. The harness was still on him. His collar was on him. So that's why the woman was like, clearly something crazy has happened. So she called. And then I guess after the ambulance doors closed, I guess some people had coordinated to say like, okay, go to the rest area and meet this woman and get the dog. So my sister and bless her heart, she had like this one-year-old, not even one, like this infant baby at the same time. And I think she was maybe five years old at this point, a little kid, got into their car and started to drive to the rest area to get Oliver. But at this point, traffic was backed up, so she couldn't get there. So apparently a police officer like turned on his siren and everything and went to the rest area to get Oliver. And so then he told my sister, you know, just go to the hospital. I'll bring the dog. And so then the police officer went apparently and got the dog and then drove back to the hospital and gave the dog to my brother-in-law.
Oh my goodness.
I know. And then, so basically the wild news out of all of this is that I didn't dislocate anything. I didn't have internal bleeding. I just had a lot of internal bruising. And Oliver too, they said that seatbelt saved his life, as the seatbelt saved my life too. The only thing he had were just a couple little like cuts on his paws and glass from when their hypothesis is that he was in the car the whole time with the flipping. And then as soon as it stopped, he gnawed out of the seatbelt and then hopped, like ran through the back of it and then just like ran in a direction and luckily didn't get hit by a car again on the highway. Yes. And yeah, I didn't break a single bone. The blood was from, like, I mean, I had a bloody nose, but again, like it wasn't bleeding, it wasn't broken. So that was the blood I saw, but I walked away pretty unscathed, which is wild. So yeah, that is the whole story.
So thank you for sharing that, because I know like reliving that kind of trauma is so difficult, at least for my own experience. When I relive some traumatic things that have happened, like when I talk about it, it just, you get transported back there.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be cathartic to talk about it. And sometimes it's like, it's very like triggering at times. So thank you for sharing that, because I know that it's not easy.
Yeah. And it's been actually, it was 2 years now, like 5 days ago.
I was going to say, I feel like you just had your anniversary. I don't want to call it an anniversary because it's tragic, but like, yeah. Wow. What a story. And for you to walk away, like pretty much untouched. And then your dog too, like somebody was looking out for you that day. Somebody was on your side that day. I mean, like, holy cow. So what I want to know, after hearing your story and hearing what you described as almost acceptance of your fate in the beginning and acceptance of, this is what's happening to me right now and I don't have control over it, so I'm going to accept the fact that this might be it. Moving forward in your everyday life, how has that moment affected you in regards to how you tackle things now or how you handle certain situations? How has that changed you in your outlook of things?
Yeah. I have these thoughts often, but definitely on like that, the year mark of it, I go down this rabbit hole and sometimes it's more negative. Sometimes I go down a negative rabbit hole. Sometimes it's a positive rabbit hole, but I can kind of summarize a few of the thoughts I have. I think the main thing that I think about is like the how and why did I survive? And I try not to go too much down a rabbit hole with that, because I think that I can get kind of negative of being like, you know, what was so worthy of my life saving versus other people who are in dangerous situations or, you know, scary situations and don't make it. Like, so I kind of go down that rabbit hole a little bit. I kind of tell myself, you know, I was given this second chance of life almost, and I can't waste it. And I want to make sure that I'm adding value back into this world, so that it's almost like not worth it, but it's just, I feel like I was given this gift and I want to do something with this gift, if that makes sense. So it's like, yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, everything that I've done since then, I just make sure that like there is a purpose behind what I do, whether it's just, you know, positively influencing one person or two people, or the work that I do, is it going to leave a lasting impact on this earth? Like I kind of just move through life now with that. And it sometimes feels like a little bit added pressure, like I'm doing this to myself, but it's almost like, I don't care, because the world saved me that day. And I feel like this is the least thing that I can do to return that.
Wow. That's powerful. And I just can't even imagine like how, cause well, let me word it like this. So not to compare the two, but kind of, I almost drowned a few years ago. And I had that moment as well, where I was in the pool and I could not find the top of the water. And I remember accepting the fact that I was drowning. And I was with people and I was in a pool, so I was obviously going to be found. I knew that. But I remember saying to myself, like, so it's similar, like how you knew you were going to get into an accident, and then you got into the accident, and then you were like, you literally were walking yourself through everything, and you're talking about how calm you were. Like, I went through the same thing, and like, I was very calm, but also like, I was freaking out inside, because I was like, I could die. And I love like what you're saying about how like you were given a second chance at life. So what are you going to do to make a lasting impact? As someone who was also given a second chance at life, I ended up being in the hospital for 3 days after that and had a ton of liquid in my lungs, and it was a disaster. And I get your emotions in regards to that somewhat. And I just think that it matters what you do. And like, it matters not only just like to everyone around you, but to you, you know, like I feel like you have this ability now to look at your story and be like, wow, like my life, I was given a second chance. And like, you can really look at that and be like, okay, I'm going to create a really cool life for myself now. And like, be 100% confident in that, because like, you have been through so much and you've got to where you are. And now you're like, I can handle anything. I've been through the worst of it. And like, now that I'm doing it, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability and do the best I can. And I think that like, as tragic as those things are that we go through, that's why I love bringing the type of people like you and the other guests that I've had on, because they take this adversity, they take this tragedy, and then they look at it and they're able to have such a hopeful, positive mindset about what happened to them. And like you said, you have your negative days, you have days that you go down the rabbit hole, but that's human. And that's part of the whole experience of tragedy and trauma and all that. You're going to have your bad days, but it's about what you do with your good days. And I just think like your story is just so, so powerful. That it's just incredible what you went through and where you are now.
Thank you so much. Well, and I think another thing that kind of unintentionally happened, I think I was really I'm purposeful about the like, okay, I want to make sure that not that what I did before was complete crap, but now I'm just more purposeful about the things that I do and adding value. But I think a strange side effect that has happened as a result of all this is narrowing down the people that are in my circle, if that makes sense. Like, I think having that experience, I've realized that, you know, I really only kind of want to surround myself with genuine friendships, or like get rid of the toxic, any toxicity in my life. And after that experience, it kind of led me to weed out like some of these relationships that I had, where I was like, you know what, I just feel like this is kind of fake, and maybe not fake, but you know, there wasn't enough, I think, in those relationships to make me feel like I wanted to put the effort in sustaining them. Oh, because yeah, I just wanted now to be really purposeful about the relationships I have and the people I surround myself and the people that I want to check in with. And so I think that that kind of unintentionally happened. And I think I'm in a much better place now 2 years later, because I think I did have a lot of toxicity in my life 2 years ago, whether it's friendships or romantic relationships, any of that. And I'm in a much more positive environment now too.
You know what's interesting? And so I can relate to that as well. And I love what you said about how like that it's made you realize like who you want in your life, right? Who are you going to spend your energy on? Because as we all know, our energy is really important. It's valuable, and our time's valuable, and who we want to spend our time with is valuable. And as you know, life can go like this, like real quick, right? Yeah. And you know, we have to cherish those moments. And why would we want somebody that's going to be toxic around us if you're draining for me and you're not being able to, like, as I always say, if you can't fill my cup, then see ya. Because like, you know, my cup is full on my own, but if you can't like add to that in any way and you're taking from me, I don't want you in my life. I think that it's important. Like what you said was, you know, your 2 years have passed from this accident, but and where you are now is just like leaps and bounds to where you, it sounds like from where you were before. And I've been through a lot of like pretty traumatic things as well. And I look back on my journey and I look back from where I started and where I am right now. And I think that going through some of these types of things, it's almost like shedding skin in a way. Like you become a new person after events like this, because your mindset changes, your energy changes, your soul changes a little bit, and you realize what really matters. And so you grow and you mature and you learn, and you're able to gain all this wisdom and life lessons and all these things from really bad situations. And then to be able to be in a really good place and look back and be like, I was there and that's what my life was. And then I went through this really tragic event and I'm shedding my skin and becoming the best version of myself. And I'm so happy and healthy right now. And so you could look back and say like, gosh, yeah, why did I get into that accident? Why did that happen to me? And be negative about it. Or you can look back and say, I'm thankful that I was in that accident, because I was allowed to become my true self after all this. And I was really able to discover who I really am. And that's the beautiful thing about this, is you were given a second chance at life, and now you're able to really flourish and do all those things that you want to do now and live your life with a real purpose. I think it's beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's tough. Like you said, like I'm human. I go through those negative days too, and have those thoughts.
Yeah. But people that are not going through tragic events have hard days too. Like you said, you're human, and it's important to have those days. It's important to, you know, cry and get it out and be like, why me? Why is this happening? And or why did it, like, it's healthy. It's good to feel that good or bad emotions.
When I go down those rabbit holes, I think the easiest way for me to get out of them is just to say, okay, you know what? Don't think too hard of the why. Just look at where you are now. Look at where you are today.
Yeah. It's and the message that you get out of all of it.
It's the message that I get out of it. It's just looking at, okay, don't focus too much on the why it happened, but just look at, okay, where are you now 2 years later? And the 2 year mark of that was the day I also released my podcast. So I'm like, you know what? 2 years ago, I didn't think I was going to live. And now I'm like living my fullest potential.
Oh my God, I love that. You go, girl. That is so cool. Like, and that, like, I just love that so, so much, because like it's almost like the universe wanted it to happen that way for you. Like that to me is almost like, I get chills, because I'm like, oh man, like that was supposed to happen for you, because I believe that, you know, things are supposed to happen in the way that they do. You know, like I don't know if it's like 100% that I believe everything happens for a reason, but I do believe that certain things do happen for reasons, and we might not know them in the moment when they're happening, but down the road you look back and you're like, that's why that happened. And I get that now. And like, now you have this amazing platform where you're able to share who you are. And if you want to share your journey, you can share your journey. If you want to create a different life for yourself, you create a different life for yourself. And that's the beauty of podcasting, is now you're able to like shine through and do what you want and be the best you can be. And I mean, your story is just like, I'm like in awe. It's so beautiful.
Thank you. It still sometimes seems unreal to me that happened, but yeah, I feel like I'm in a much better place. I feel like I'm a better person, and I feel like I just have a totally different outlook on the way I just move through life now. Yeah. So yeah, it was kind of, maybe not worth it, but I gained something from it.
Right, right. Yeah. If you had to choose to go through it again,
I wouldn't.
So I asked you to bring a quote today.
Yes, I have one.
Do you mind sharing with the listeners?
I've been obsessed with this quote since I was in high school. And this quote was actually the inspiration for my podcast, actually, too. So it's by Maya Angelou. "My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style."
Oh, my goodness. Good old Maya. I just love that. And I love that you took that message and brought that onto your podcast and created kind of who your podcast is and that brand from that. It's just, it's beautiful. I mean, really, really. Do you want to talk about how that quote has helped you? I mean, I know you kind of did a little bit, but like aside from the podcast, like, do you keep that in your everyday life as well?
Oh yes. 100%. Like I'm one of those people that has quotes in their email signature still. I never got out of that phase. Yeah, I think that to me, and maybe this, it's probably because it's a coping mechanism with having stress and anxiety, but I have to find humor in situations, even if something is really, really dark. And if it's something I'm going through myself. Now, I'm never going to laugh at someone else's situation. I might try to make them smile, you know, just to...
I'm the same way. And I'm also like queen of like worst timing for jokes. And I never mean it in an insensitive way, but like, I deal with it the same way. So I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. So to me, finding humor in situations helps me move forward. It helps me bring back. I find a lot of my resiliency comes from my ability to maybe bring some laughter or light into a situation. And at that same time, having compassion. Like, that's why I said, you know, I would never laugh at someone's situation. I'm always going to come at it from an empathetic, compassionate way. But if I can, you know, make you smile a little bit too, then I feel like that's a win-win.
Right.
Yeah. So I tend to do that in my life too. Like, even if people just come either talk to me about things that are going on in their life, like we're going to end up laughing at some point together.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm still want to be there as a friend and be there as someone who can be those ears for you to share and vent.
Well, I love that. You have been such an amazing guest. Thank you so, so much for coming on. And I do want you to plug all your stuff. I want you to plug your podcast. I want you to get all your stuff out there. So promote all your stuff and drop your handles. And if you have any last words, please give them to the listeners.
Sure. Well, so you can find all my stuff on my website, which is my name. It's janirad.com, JANIRAD. And if you're curious, Jani Rad actually comes from my full name, which is Niranjani Radhakrishnan. So if you spell it all out, my first name and my last name, the middle letters spell out Jani Rad. So that's where
that
comes from.
That is so cool. I was wondering like if your name was short. That is so cool. So
yeah,
cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I've kind of gone by Jani Rad since I was a kid, but I always like to kind of plug that it comes from my full name with its Indian roots. And my Instagram and I guess my Twitter handle and my Facebook handle, I don't really use Twitter yet, I'm learning, but it's JRPW Services. So I'll say that again, JRPW Services. And my podcast is called What's On Your Mind. You can currently find it on Apple, Podbean, Deezer, Stitcher. It's supposed to be on Google, but I haven't found it yet. And Google's customer service is down right now because of quarantine. So TBD on that. And it'll be on Spotify next month. It's a new podcast. The second episode actually just came out today. So by the time this airs, maybe there'll hopefully be a few more. But it's really similar actually to kind of what Allie here presents. You know, it's a conversation. And I basically give people a platform to just share what's going on in their mind. And, you know, I never know what I'm going to get. It can be heartfelt. It can be serious. It can be funny. It can be a blend of everything. But I truly believe that we are more than our bios and more than our professional credentials. Like, as we talked about, we all have our unconventional journeys. And I truly believe that we are human beings at our very core, and we have so much more to us that make us people than just, you know, what we did in school. So the purpose of this podcast is to get to those musings that you have in your head and anything that you want to talk about. So, you know, I have guests that do want to talk about, you know, the things that they do work on, because that is a big part of their identity. And then I have other folks that are like, you know what, I don't want to talk about work. I just want to talk about the other things that are on my mind that I think about daily. So I kind of allow my guests to use that platform to talk about whatever it is. And we have, it usually ends up in a conversation about something that's deep and hopefully resonates with a lot of people. So I hope you enjoy What's On Your Mind, available where mostly podcasts are found, Spotify coming soon.
Alrighty. Well, I just think that this has been great. I'm so glad that social media was able to connect us, and I'm looking forward to continuing a friendship from here. I think that you're amazing. Your story's amazing. And I just thank you so much for coming on and being so vulnerable and sharing your story.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Alrighty. Thank you.
Yeah.
As always, you guys, you know, you can follow all of our shows, my show at uptomeradio.com. You can follow along on Instagram at uptome.radio or on Facebook at uptomeradio. You can also find my email box at abuckley@uptomeradio.com. I'm on Instagram as Right Up Your Alley. And next week I have coming on Ryan Sliwak. He's the creator of the website Athlete Humanity, from athletes for athletes. And it is providing college athletes mental support separate from the stigma and a chance to tell their story the way they want it to be heard. It was really special. I can't wait for you guys to hear that. Other than that, just if you guys want to go on to Apple and rate, review, subscribe. I know that some people have been having a little bit of issues finding my show. If you subscribe to Up To Me Radio on Apple Podcasts, my shows will come up with a reminder. A little notification will pop up every Monday and Friday, and you won't miss out. So make sure you guys do that. I will see you on Monday. Have a great rest of your weekend. Bye.